This morning we're looking at the epistle to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. This letter or epistle was written from prison by the Apostle Paul, but is in truth the Word of God to the Church of God at Colossae, a city named Colossae, and the Church of God everywhere. This, as always, the Word of God is written to God's people. What he says here, he says to the churches. And the first eight verses are a brief greeting to the church at Colossae, and there are only two sentences in these eight verses, yet the gospel is declared here. There are six words that make up the gospel in these eight verses. Six words, sound words, words you've heard before perhaps, but these words sum up the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation of God's people. He begins in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul did not refer to himself as Father Paul or Dr. Paul or Reverend Paul, but simply Paul. Flattering titles and high-sounding offices do not belong to ministers or servants. That's what a minister is. He said, I'm an apostle. Now, apostle is with a small a there. Apostle simply means a messenger of Jesus Christ by the will of God, he said. By God's will, Paul was called to be an apostle. Paul had the gospel revealed to him, Christ revealed in him. The truth is a revelation. Paul didn't know it, wasn't seeking it, but God, in sovereign mercy and grace, called him by His grace and by His will, made him an apostle by the will of God. And Timotheus, he says, our brother. Paul and Timothy were constant companions, laborers together. Verse 2, he says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. To the saints. This is written to the saints. To the faithful brethren in Christ. Did you hear that? If you'll read all of God's Word, you'll see clearly that each one, especially the epistles, declares who it is written to. To the saints, not written to the world, not written to every human being, every person, but to the saints. The saints means the sanctified ones, those who have been set apart by God unto salvation, sanctified. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're bound to give thanks to God, always to God, for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and belief of the truth. Through the means of the Holy Spirit, His sovereign power setting apart those whom God has chosen to save, and they hear the gospel, and through the means of faith. Yes, without faith, there is no salvation, but that is not of yourselves, even that's the gift of God. And he says in verse 14 of 2 Thessalonians 2, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To the saints, or those who've been set apart by God's choice, by God's Holy Spirit in time to hear the truth, to believe the truth. All don't believe it. He said there in that same chapter of 2 Thessalonians, some because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. He says God sends them strong delusions that they believe a lie. Those who believe not the truth, well, if you do believe, you've been blessed by God. You've been chosen by God. It's not of yourself. He says to the saints, the sanctified one, and faithful. That means those full of faith, faithful, those who have faith in God, the true God, the living God, God's Christ. And the word faithful also means trustworthy. Those who have been entrusted with the truth, God's Word, God's Gospel. And how do you know someone is faithful? Well, they are devoted to God's glory. Every faithful preacher is devoted to the glory of God, and he gives God all the glory. He won't take any of it. Every member who's devoted to the glory of God must and will hear of God's glory, of Christ's glory, God's Word. He demands that his preacher be true to the Word of God. Well, they're faithful to each other. David one time said, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." And most are. The natural man is, but not God's people. They're true men, true women, and not liars. They'll tell you the truth, even at the expense of being hated. Well, he says to the faithful brethren in Christ, family in Christ, brethren, all men are brethren in Adam. We're all born of one man, Adam, but we're not all brethren, or that is, the family of God. No, sir, God is the Father of His people. And Christ said to some one day, "You're of your father, the devil." And God's people are in His family by His choice, by Christ's work, by the Holy Spirit's regeneration, by a new birth. They're adopted by God and they're born from above. Family of God in Christ. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And they're sons of God. Now, all men and women are not sons of God. So he writes to the faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, and he says this. The first word that describes the gospel, that declares the gospel, the true gospel, is grace be unto you. Grace be unto you. It didn't say, "I'm offering grace unto you." God wants to be gracious to you, but it says, "Grace be unto you." Grace be bestowed upon you. The grace of God is upon you because you're a saint. That's why you're a saint, by the grace of God, because you're a brother in Christ by the grace of God. By grace, you're saved. Now, grace means this. It means a gift. A gift bestowed. Not a gift, not an offer, but a gift bestowed. Grace is not something offered unto you. Grace is something done to you. Grace is not an offer unto people to accept or reject. The saving grace of God is something God does to us. It's life-giving grace, soul-saving grace. It's something Christ did for us by becoming our substitute, the substitute of God's people, the sin payment, the sin offering, something the Holy Spirit does in us in regeneration. Grace is the work of God, a work of God, not an offer, but a work of God upon a human being. By grace ye are saved. Grace be unto you. Grace means just that too, a gift, not something you earn, but an unearned gift, undeserved gift. Grace is always sovereign. It's up to the one who has it to give it. So it's always sovereign. Grace. Grace. If you want to sum up the gospel, it's sovereign grace. By grace you're saved. Peter wrote this in the closing words of his first letter. He said, "I'm testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand." The true grace, as opposed to false grace. That is what you're hearing today, a mere offer, an invitation. You see, God's salvation, the salvation written of in Scripture, the true salvation of God's elect is 100% by God's grace, the operation of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This salvation which is by God's sovereign grace is this. God Almighty purposed it. Christ purchased it. And the Holy Spirit applies it. Man is on the sideline. Man is a recipient of this thing of salvation. Man's lost. God's not lost. Man is. God in sovereign grace purposed to save a people out of Adam's fallen race before the world began. That's Ephesians 1:4. And God gave these people to His Son in a covenant before the world began. Gave them to His Son to come to this earth to live as their righteous representative. To fulfill the law for them, which they could not fulfill and would not fulfill, and He came to do it, to glorify God as a man for men. As a man for men, not man, not for all men. And Christ died for those whom the Father gave to Him in that covenant. Not all men. If Christ died for all men, then all men would be saved. If He paid the penalty for all men's sins, then all men are saved. But He didn't. Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He paid the penalty for their sins, and the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of this gospel, and this is what God uses, this is the means that God uses. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, what the world calls foolishness, and the gospel which men call foolishness. Men can't understand how God uses just the declaration of the truth of who He is, who Christ is, and what the gospel is, what God's Word says, and how God uses that to save someone, and He doesn't need all these business tactics and gimmicks and persuasive methods and so forth. That's because they haven't experienced the sovereign power of God themselves. The God, the Holy Spirit, through the declaration of this gospel, declaration of who God is, gives life, quickens dead sinners, gives the fear of God, repentance, faith in Christ, love for God, love for Christ, love for the truth, a hatred of every false way, and a love for the brethren, and the fruit of the Spirit. They are born from above. They're a new creature in Christ. All of this is God's grace bestowed upon them. Something done to them. Something done for them. Something done in them. Salvation is the operation of God upon a dead sinner. Salvation is by the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's not even, your faith is not a work. If you have true faith, you know it's not. But all of this so-called faith that men exercise is free will accepting, that's not the grace of God. And you'll find out someday. Do you know how many verses of Scripture we could turn to concerning the grace of God? And I'm not going to get to the next few verses. This happened in our church when I began to preach this. Each word, I may do a series of messages then from each word, but each word deserves a message by itself. But by grace, we're saved. The operation of God, sovereign grace be unto you. In short, if you and I are saved, it is because God Almighty saved us. Period. God Almighty chose us. Period. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did something for us that we didn't deserve, that we couldn't do for ourselves. And whoever He did it for, it was a work of grace. It was salvation. It was their sins paid for. People, do you understand that? That if Jesus Christ actually died for someone's sins, they're paid for. People love that old song, Jesus Paid It All. Well, if He died and paid for the penalty of someone's sins, then they can't go to hell. No way. Their sins have been paid for. God would be unjust to send someone to hell for something Christ paid for. And the fact is, not one drop of Christ's blood was shed in vain, but all for whom He died will be saved, because that's the mark of God's people. That's whom the Holy Spirit knows to call by the gospel. And whoever Christ died for, the Holy Spirit comes through the preaching of the gospel, and He quickens them by His grace, by His power, and calls them by this gospel, and they will come. All that the Father giveth me will come unto me, Christ said. They're my sheep, and I laid down my life for them. Salvation is by grace. Yes, if you're one of the saints, it's by grace. If you're a faithful brother in Christ, it's by grace. Yes, grace be unto you. Well, until next Sunday, may the Lord reveal Himself to you. Amen.